Paul tells Timothy and us to do our best to present ourselves to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. We'll take a look at that truth and how to handle it next on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. All our lives we spend studying for this test, studying for that job, studying for this or that or the other thing. That's what we do. But when it comes to our relationship with Christ, oftentimes we leave off the study of God's Word, thinking it'll just happen by osmosis. Welcome to Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. If you'll join us for the next few minutes, we'll do just that. Study God's Word that we might show ourselves approved. A workman who does not need to be ashamed. With this edition of Abounding Grace, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
If we were to summarize Paul's issues in Romans chapter 8 and what he's dealing with and what sort of question he's answering, it really would be one central key question in light of what he had said in Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. How do I know, Paul? How do I know it's me? We could frame it this way. What really is now the difference in me as opposed to the unbeliever? If I still feel the effects and struggle with the body of death, as you said in chapter 7, Paul. And Paul is now unraveling and providing clear explanation for us about the lives of two very different kinds of people. There are two lives totally different, with different affections, different desires, and different masters. And the key point he's making is simply to outline the direction of these two very different types of people. Paul's saying your whole life now, dear Christian, is oriented and bent towards this new power, this new principle of life that the Spirit has worked in your hearts. And your direction is now heavenward. In verse 5, he expounds a great contrast. Look what he says. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, we got into this a little bit yesterday, but let's continue with it. It's very important because verses 5 through 8 outline four characteristics of the unbeliever, or we call the make-believer. First, he says, they are living according to the flesh because their minds are controlled by it. Now, what does that mean? We said yesterday that here, when we hear flesh, we typically think of the body. But the Bible never presents the body as some great evil. That was the error of the ancient Gnostics who made that distinction, that really all matter is evil, and so what really matters is the spirit within you. The word flesh here, sarx in the Greek, is talking about the sinful nature. And so sarx, a better translation, would simply be those who live according to the sinful nature, set their minds on the things of that nature, that sinful nature. So what he's saying, remember yesterday, is that their minds are dominated and controlled and principled by whatever their sinful lusts and nature directs of them. We always tell our children, what you think is what you are. We really see that here is that the thought process and patterns that begin in the mind itself control action. That's what Paul said in Ephesians 4. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. You see where it all starts. The mind and understanding is darkened, and that controls the life. Ephesians 2:3 says the same thing. We all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. This is why I think flesh here is not the best translation, because when we are flesh, we only think of outward action. We think of the sins of the flesh like homosexuality, fornication, drunkenness, stuff like that, that the Bible outlines in 1 Corinthians 6. But that's not always the case, is it? You can have very moral people living very self-righteous lives. But outwardly, everything looks together, right? Nicely dressed, nice house and yard, cars, impeccable life, in church twice on Sunday. But cannot all of that outward morality be driven by a mind that has found satisfaction in itself rather than Jesus? Cannot that outward morality be driven by a mind that finds pleasure and satisfaction in the works of its own hands? Surely, what we have here then is one's life being controlled by the dictates of their own hearts. To glorify, and get this, it's so important. You always know an unbeliever because they're living for the self. Whether that be a very moral person or a very immoral person. So that's the first characteristic here that Paul outlines. The first characteristic is having a darkened mind. What's the second? The second characteristic he outlines for the non-Christian is that he is spiritually dead. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death. You hear what he's saying? The person who's governed by the sinful desires of the mind, serving the self, is dead already. Look, this is so important that we get this. He's not saying that such things lead to death. They are spiritually dead now, he says. 1 Corinthians 2:12. This was a verse that was so important to me when I finally grasped this about natural man and the heart and understanding why people just won't receive the truth. But this is what we read there. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That is such an important verse. He's saying the reason that we as Christians have an ability to know the things of God is because the Spirit of God lives in our hearts, opening our hearts to the truth. But on the flip side, the unbeliever absolutely rejects and cannot know the things of God because his spirit is dead. Remember in the parable of the sower, the very first seed landed. And it fell on the wayside, and the birds came and devoured it up. What was Jesus' explanation of that? Anyone who hears the words of the kingdom. So they're hearing the words of the kingdom. They are sitting and hearing the preaching. The only deposit of truth that able to change their hearts, they're hearing. When the spiritual things of God are being set forth, says Christ, and they do not understand them, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. See, this is very common. The word goes forth, something is sown in the heart, however little it might be, but overall they just don't get it. And because the mind is controlled by the sinful nature and their spirits are dead, the heart is a breeding ground for the devil, who comes secretly and calcifies the heart against the truth. That's why, my friends, you see all sorts of responses to the Word of God preached, and often just plain apathy. And they reject it either by word or action. So Paul is saying, look, you have people who are totally dead to the truth of God's Word. Let me just say, this has been one of the most disturbing things I've witnessed in the ministry. Every pastor, if there's any listening today, you can call me. You expect the Word to go forth. And as a pastor, we expect it always to change a life. But we forget. Now, it's not that we don't know this. But we forget that it's a two-edged sword, even given to harden the heart. And as I've been called by God to preach His law and His gospel, as the law exposes people's lives, and it's a painful thing often when that happens, for the pastor to see a posture, an attitude, and actions of people who harden their hearts to the Word. As they grumble about the Word, as they walk out of the church grumbling about the Word, as they leave the church angrily because of the Word, it's a horrifying thing. Living in the flesh, you see, there's no interest or love for the things of the Spirit of God. And the fact is that spiritual death characterizes their life. And that's why I give the call. Don't harden your hearts to the word, lest you drift away, as the book of Hebrews says. And Hebrews warns against not hardening our hearts to the word, just like who? The children of Israel in the wilderness. Because if you have a people grumbling and complaining against the things that the Spirit has revealed about their life that He seeks to correct, you tell me, what does that say? 1 Timothy 5:6, those who want to live in pleasure are dead while they live. They're dead while they live. So the first two characteristics, do you hear them there? They're governed in the mind by the sinful flesh, and they are spiritually dead. I'll just briefly get into the third one, and we'll pick up tomorrow with the third and fourth. Paul moves on to this third characteristic in verse 7 of Romans 8. He says, "For the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be." So third, their lives are driven by lawlessness. What happens in the child of God? Well, there's a difference when the child of God hears the law of God and the child of the Lord hears that law. And what does it say? We read constantly in the Bible that he delights in the law of God. Paul said that in verse 22, "I delight in the law of God according to the inward man." So I have this profound love for the law. That's what happens in the child of God. He loves the law because it's a reflection of God and His holiness. But what did Paul say the law was always doing? Well, it's always exposing sin, isn't it? And that's where the battle lies. The law exposes sin, and that's painful because you love the Lord and His law, since it is a reflection of His holiness. And so this deep battle takes place within. But the difference for the Christian is that he gets up and goes to Christ. The unbeliever continues in his sin. He hears the law, and he only grows hardened to it. We'll pick up with that tomorrow. But the question through all of this is, have you trusted in Jesus? If you believed in Him, then you know there's no condemnation for you, and that your life is different, now being lived in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Growing in grace so that we don't groan in disgrace. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We spend just a few minutes a day together, but it's our hope and prayer that those few minutes help you grow in your understanding of God's great love for you and I in His Son, Jesus Christ. As always, questions, comments, and prayer requests are more than welcome. We'd love to dialogue with you, especially as it relates to our union in Christ. You can call us 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. If you would like to write to us, the address is 8650 Benson Road. We're here in Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And again, as always, you're welcome to contact us by phone, especially if you would like directions to the church. If you're planning on a visit, we'd love to see you. We meet at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. on the Lord's Day at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden. Directions, again, call 360-318-0429. Or better yet, visit our website. Learn a bit more about us here at United Reformed Church in Linden and Abounding Grace, who we are and what we believe. LindenURC.com. Again, LindenURC.com. We even have a map, directions to the church, if you'd like to join us. LindenURC.com or 360-318-0429. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.